my friend on Facebook, and who isn't my friend on Facebook? Well, actually, lots of you probably aren't. I have about 5,000 friends, but I would certainly take more. So if you do want to be my friend on Facebook, send me a request. I take all requests as a thumbs up yes. Use the Facebook page to promote the show, give away prizes, yada, 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 all that stuff. But if you are my Facebook friend, if you're on there right now, I did just recently post a picture of the broken plate, the souvenir plate that Wild Bill from Breckenridge had sent Paul Juergens, KFGO news director, and the plate was broken this morning by the very careless and uncaring, I might add, Jim Monk of our KFGO news team. So you can actually see a picture of the beautiful, very expensive plate and the fact that it's in more than one piece right now, which isn't really good for anybody, particularly the plate. It is 4:38 on the Mike McFeely Show on KFGO. Our phone numbers are 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. I want to welcome in our usual Monday guest at this time who was traveling yesterday, so he was unavailable. He joins us right now, Tuesday at 4:35. His name is Clay Jenkinson. He is the director of the Dakota Institute and a columnist for the Bismarck Tribune, host of the Jefferson Hour, and a million other things. Hello, Clay. How are you?
Good to talk with you, Mike. I'm sorry about yesterday. You know, I bowled at 11 a.m. and I was so exhausted I couldn't pick up the phone.
See, now there you go. Now, you're,
there we go.
Here we go. The battle line has been drawn.
Yeah, you told me that a number of your listeners and your close friends are now upset because I regard bowling as less than heroic.
Yes. I mean, they were not just a little upset. They were mad. And in fact, one of the guys said, "I used to like Clay. I used to listen to Clay. I will no longer do that. I was about to go through the radio when he was talking about bowling so bad last time around."
Wow. I mean, he could have gone through the radio, but that would require human effort. And as a bowler, he has none.
No, stop. Okay. Stop.
You know, I love
stop.
You know,
no,
I don't.
No, no, no.
You just like bowling.
You stop because they gave me some things
ultimatum
to tell you.
Yeah, what?
They gave me a piece of paper with some talking points on it, and they said, "You tell Jenkinson these things." So you sit quietly.
Wait a minute. I will sit quietly, but I'm just putting on my arm brace that I wear when I bowl. But go ahead.
I'm telling you, don't walk into Red River Lanes. You're not going to get out.
I'll walk in with you. I'll take on these guys. I'll buy them a beer.
They will never find your body if you walk into Red River Lanes.
But go ahead. Give me their talking point.
Bowling is a healthy way to live is the title of the page. Did you know, Clay, that more than 250 colleges offer bowling and nearly half offer scholarships? Did you know that those scholarships account for $6 million dollars in education for our young people? Did you know that 47 states in the U.S. have established high school bowling programs? And did you know, my friend, that 54,000 kids bowl in varsity high school competition? Furthermore, my friend, did you know that bowling burns 100 plus calories an hour? It builds 134 muscles in your body. It sustains hand-eye coordination. And three games of bowling equals one, count them, 1 mile of walking. It also accounts for family bonding, making memories. It's a lifetime sport for schlubs like you who spend all your day in books and things like that. And it is fun for everybody. There are no barriers. So stick that in your highfalutin pipe out in Bismarck, North Dakota, my friend, and smoke it.
No, you know, I don't disagree with any one of those. Those are beautiful things. I wanted to be a bowling major myself in college, but then I found badminton. And so that was the end of that. But, Mike, I love bowling. I have bowled. I'm not even a bad bowler. And I like bowling people. And, you know, I do agree they lose 100 calories per hour, if that was your statistic.
It was.
They gain it back with the six-pack they drink while sitting there, but that's fine.
So you've been to my bowling league secretly, then?
I could picture you in your bowling league. I see the high-fouring. I won't say high-fiving because that would require hand-eye coordination. I see the shirts. I see the shoes. I see the beer. I see the French fries. I see the talk about girls in the next lane. I see you secretly asking for the barriers to be put up so that you won't get the gutter balls.
Anytime. I thought you and I were going to have a match in Devil's Lake.
We are. We're having a grudge match, and I want all of my haters, I guess you'd call them haters now, to come because I love bowling, you know?
Bowling is as salt of the earth as you can get in today's world, in the world of sports.
I
don't think there's
true.
Another sport that is more blue-collar and more for the average American guy or gal than bowling.
That is certainly true. And, of course, tiddlywinks.
You just won't stop, will you?
I mean, realize that I'm not serious, Mike. I hope they won't, like, stop me on the road as I go into Devil's Lake and beat the living daylights out of me just so I score under 100.
Well, they might, because I gave them all your cell phone number and your license plate number.
What's
so
wrong
I apologize.
Don't they have a sense of humor? I mean, here you are every single day, Mr. Sarcast.
No,
I make one
I win.
Little cheap shot about bowling.
I'm not sarcastic in any way, shape, or form. What are you talking about?
But tell me this, on a scale of 1 to 10, if 10 means really upset and 1 is we get it that this is shtick, where are these friends of yours?
The owner of the bowling center himself, he was 11. Seriously, he was mad. He was not
really?
Joking.
Really? I mean, yes. Angry?
Yes, he was mad.
Well, let me just say then, from the deepest spirit of my heart, that I apologize to bowlers everywhere. And I know that they will not get up out of their Barca loungers at this moment to attack me.
I'm going to take a phone call, Clay, because I want to end this right now before they start coming after me
for having you on my
program.
You taught me everything I know about bowling.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was talking, just for the setup, I was talking previously about the guy in Little Falls, Minnesota, who cold-bloodedly shot the two intruders, teenagers, in his house a couple of years ago. That case has gone to trial now, and I read some of the testimony about him shooting the teenagers, then looking at them as they lay there wounded, then calling them names before shooting them in the head.
So it wasn't it was not a mere defensive shooting.
Well, he says that it was. That's
the
case.
Yeah, but if you're taunting, that's not good.
I agree. I'm on your side. I'm going to go to Neil in Alexandria. Neil, you're on the Mike McPhee of the show.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Are you a bowler, Neil? Are you offended by Clay's hatred of bowling, by the way?
Absolutely not.
I
bowled,
agree.
When I lived down in Hopkins, but that's all beside the point. I want to talk about Byron Smith.
Okay. That's the guy in Little Falls.
Okay, good.
And then if I can ask Clay, I know how old you are, Mike, but how old is Clay?
I'm 59, just entering the bowling era of my life.
A lot
okay,
older than me.
Did you know anybody that, do you have any colleagues or friends that went to Vietnam?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and that Byron Smith went to Vietnam, and I think he should be acquitted, that he probably had to shoot, and that's why I got to hand it to Muhammad Ali. He said he wouldn't go to Vietnam because he didn't want to kill anybody over there, and this Byron Smith probably had to go over there and kill some people, and maybe he totally normal after that episode because my best friend went to Vietnam and killed a whole bunch of Vietnamese, and when I went come to deer hunting camp, I walked on eggshells because this guy would have nightmares over this.
Neil, I don't doubt any of that, but that doesn't excuse Byron Smith from murdering two people.
Wait a second. No, Mike, you're already coming to a conclusion that he murdered him. Without the verdict coming,
we will see.
Forth.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, he is innocent until proven guilty. You're right, Neil. I apologize for saying that. In my belief, with what I've been able to read about this, it looks awfully tough for a self-defense, Clay.
Well, you know, we have a right to defend our homes and our property, and sometimes that leads to violence. And boy, I defend to the death anyone's right to defend his children, his wife, her husband, his property. But with the least force necessary, right? And whenever there is, you know, if I shot you tonight, Mike, walking into my house with a bowling pin, wanting to dispatch me, I would feel bad about it. It would be the worst thing that ever happened to me. You know, I would be filled with remorse. I wouldn't taunt, and I wouldn't celebrate in any way. It would be, don't you agree? It would be a source of the deepest grief to be led to that extremity?
Yes, I think it would be an awful thing to have to do. And again, we all like to think that we'd be a hero if somebody was breaking into our homes and threatening our families or our children or our wives or whomever. But I would think that would be a very difficult thing to do. Having never shot somebody myself, it'd be a very difficult thing to do. And I think that it would not be a moment for celebration or calling the dying woman laying on your basement floor a bitch several times. I don't think that was necessary, although I've not been in Byron Smith's shoes before.
Yeah, we haven't been there. And Theodore Roosevelt said that, when you're in a combat situation or in a situation where, it's kill or be killed or whatever, he said that the wolf rises in the heart. And we know from all wars that excesses occur and that there's some kind of an adrenaline rush that kind of shuts down your rational and humane instincts at certain points. So I think we don't know enough about this case yet, Mike, but it doesn't, this is not the defense I would want to put forward, would you?
No, not at all. And it's, in my opinion, again, only my opinion from what I've been able to read, and certainly reading news accounts or hearing news accounts, you don't get the full story. But with what we know, it seems an awfully big stretch to me that a jury would say, yes, you defended your home in the proper manner.
Yeah, you'd want to have a great deal of detail about precisely what led to that extremity. I will say, I think we are far too quick to pull triggers in this society. That's not anything about the Second Amendment, but we're trigger happy. And increasingly, people who are trigger happy are acquitted, which is, I think, deeply troubling to everyone, don't you?
Well, when you have states like Florida basically making laws that allow you to shoot first and ask questions later, that's what happens, because then you can shoot first and ask questions later, whether it's some teenagers who are smarting off to you or whether it's Trayvon Martin or anybody else. We're becoming a nation of just shoot and figure it out later. And
that's
a dangerous
trial.
Place. Which one?
This little false.
It's the second day of testimony right now. That's why I brought it up on the program.
And it's a jury trial.
It's a jury trial, yes.
And how long is it expected to last?
That I have not read. I have not seen, but it's only day two, so I'm sure it will take a while.
Mayhem, boy, you see a lot of mayhem, and when these things happen, if I woke up in the night and I knew someone was in my kitchen, and I didn't know whether they had a gun or what they were doing, I would be terrified. Wouldn't you?
It would be a terrifying moment to find out
that
somebody's in your house.
And if I had a gun, you bet I would get it, and I would cock it, because you don't know, and... we live in a time when you can't count on the police getting there quickly enough, and you may have to, in extremity, do what it takes to protect yourself. But these are really, really hard cases, and I think we'll find out more as the trial proceeds.
We will leave it at this, Clay. A text message came in for you. Very simple, very succinct. It says, Clay, take no crap from a substitute bowler.
Mike, I will apologize to bowlers everywhere, all four of them.
Okay, get out of here. Now, I'm going to call you a knucklehead for the first time in our relationship.
Thank you.
You're a knucklehead. Get out of here.
Too.
Clay Jenkinson, our usual guest on the Mike McFeely Show. Thanks, as always, to Clay for coming on.